Edge with April Mahoney Brains. How are you today? You're at the spot, your favorite place, where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Today, we are talking with Ms. Angie Doy. Angie is a whole life coach. That's a big container. And I see that she has some beautiful essential oils back there. We're going to talk to her a little bit about that. But what she's doing energetically, physically, mindset mastery, with helping people sort out the ebbs and flows in their life. Life is challenging. We all have some sort of medical condition, mental health condition, financial condition, just conditions. And we want to work with trained professionals like Angie to get ahead of the curve. She's there in the UK. And she's going to give us some great inspiration and information from across the pond. Welcome to the show, Angie.
Thank you very much. I'm really thrilled to be here, April. Thank you.
I am thrilled too. Is that a coral necklace that you have on?
I think it's something called cinnabar. It's a lovely soothing stone. But yes, I like my crystals.
It looks like a stone that a friend of mine has, cinnabar, and it is from Africa. So It's got a lot of deep healing properties. It just kind of resonated with me. It's gorgeous. So tell my brains how you show up in the world and exactly what it is you do to the whole life.
Well, my philosophy is that you should be living your dream. We're not here all just to work for someone and to just about scrape by. We're here to live. We've been given, you know, wonderful experience, and we should have what we want. We should have health, wealth, and happiness. It's really as simple as that. But through being a coach, I've discovered when I was talking to people that their dream life was always much closer than they imagined. They'd be telling me what they wanted, because like most coaches, I help people to get from A, you know, where they are now, to where they want to be. And it was always just so much closer if they would dare to dream and just dare to take a little action. So that's my philosophy, that your dream life is 100% doable, and I'm absolutely committed to helping people to get there.
Well, you know, that's a big wish list. First of all, in my opinion, people don't even know what they want. You know what it is? They will go to a smorgasbord and all the food will be laid out in front of them and they're overwhelmed.
You're absolutely right. Totally
what are
right.
The first steps in identifying what you truly want?
I think people don't actually stop to dream. You're exactly right. And it's one of the things I run a challenge to help people through this. I do a 7-day challenge. And the first day I spend just saying, you know, what is your dream? And I think you start with your life, looking at it as time, because your life is made of time, and time is your most precious resource. So it's the one thing, it doesn't matter how much money you've got, you can't buy yourself some more time. So what you spend your time on really matters, because you're exchanging a day of your life for it. So that's where I really start with, how do you spend your time now, you know, and how does that work out for you? Does that cause you happiness or does it cause you stress? And just starting from the basics of thinking, well, what fills your day? And it's whether people, they've often got compromises in there. They're working and they want to work for their family, to provide for their family and to give them a good life. But they work 80 hours a week and they don't see their family. So they're either farming the kids out or getting others to care for them, which is not really kind of the whole life view. So it's nailing, what do you really want? You know, how would you like that balance of time to look? And it is in your perfect world. So it's really nailing what and the free flowing thinking of what is the dream? You know, what would I really like? If I absolutely couldn't fail, what would I do and how would I spend my time? And we'll get all the way through to, you know, thinking about what their time is actually worth and how they're going to get the money they need. But that's sort of like, you know,
But also,
much further on.
what are you willing to sacrifice?
Yeah,
You
absolutely.
know, and people don't want to give up anything because a lot of times they are living that overachiever syndrome. Oh, I've got to keep up with the Joneses. I need to have the house or the car or the handbag like them, or my kid needs to go to the same school with them. But what people have to understand is that we all embark on our own individual journey. As I like to say, you need to stay in your own lane. You
You
do.
do.
And then that way you will never deviate or, you know, go that's not your path. And don't overthink it. Like you say,
Absolutely.
live in the moment. And you had that experience because you lost a son very suddenly.
I
So you
do.
understand how precious life is. And it's not, you know, the next day. Or 10 years from now, we exist moment by moment, breath by breath.
Absolutely. And I think that's what people have to start from is the next step. And that's one of my hallmarks, as I said, we'll just take the next right step for you. And like you say, it's on their path, not somebody else's path or what their parents would have them do or somebody else, a boss would have them do, but what will get them closer to their dreams and goals. And it only needs to be a little step. And sometimes it's just asking yourself, you know, what do I need right now? What would make my life better today? Just
Well, mine would be a massage. How about that?
oh,
But
absolutely.
it's the self-care, you know,
Yes.
it's what we put in our body. It's the books that we read, the television or the media that we consume, the people that we hang around, those toxic environments, those self-medication of alcohol or drugs. And really not even, like you say, just taking the time to sit back and enjoy nature, to take a breath. And be grateful. That's another thing that you are into is gratitude. Tell us what your perspective is on gratitude.
Well, I think you mentioned that I lost my son, whose name is Robert, and he was just 42, and he died very suddenly. And one of the things I found that had helped me in that moment was a gratitude practice I've been doing his whole life, which is every morning and every night. I always say, you know, thank you, thank you, thank you, you know, for my sons, my incredible sons, my grandchildren, so forth. So whenever I thought of him, even though we'd just lost him, all I could feel was a profound sense of gratitude, just deep gratitude that for 42 years I had him. So that's really what spurred me on to teach and coach, really, is because it's not just something nice that we say online. Oh, it's all you know, you should be grateful. And if you say it helps you, it really sets you on a path to only include on your path the things that you really want and that are important to you. So if you're grateful for them, it's easier to manifest them. So gratitude is incredibly important.
But also, and I know this sounds odd, brains, but you have to be grateful for the obstacles and the adversarial things that happen in your life, because those are there to teach you a lesson. The things that hurt us the most are truly our best teachers. And you would not appreciate the good if you did not know what the bad was like. Would you agree, Angie?
Yeah, somebody told a story online that really resonated with me. And they're talking about, you know, we'll look at a tree and it's strong and it's expressing itself fully because it's all in blossom and beautiful. But where that tree got its strength is when it was a sapling and it was being knocked about in storms and trying to grow. And that's where they get strength from, because as it whips about, and a younger sapling will whip about, that's when it's growing strong and that's when it's building its resistance and its stores of energy. And I thought, That really is true, because I think, you know, very often with people, and taking them from where they are to their full expression, to really blossoming. So it's like planting a seed or planting a flower, and sort of, you know, instead of you go girl, it's you grow girl, you know,
Absolutely.
you
And you have to
really.
have, you've got to have a strong foundation. You've got to grab onto those roots.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so important, and that you value yourself, I think, because how you show up in the world teaches other people how to treat you. So if
Right.
you love yourself, that's how you attract love. So it isn't selfish or it isn't wrong. It's an act of self-care. And the stronger you are, to say you can't sort of help people if your own cup is empty. You can't. You need resources just of strength and energy. And you know, putting that yourself first sometimes just makes sense, because it lets you care for others. So it puts you in your power.
As they say on the airplane, always put your oxygen mask on first.
Yeah, absolutely,
And if you don't
absolutely.
take care, if each person took care of themselves, there would be a lot less people to care for. You know? And you have to be thankful for caregivers. I know that you're a caregiver. I was a caregiver too. And that is a selfless act. It's like teachers and nurses. You are continuously pouring into other individuals' vessel. You're depleting yourself. What do you do for yourself, Angie, to renourish yourself, renew your feelings, and you know, outside of your gratitude ritual, what else do you do for yourself for self-care?
Yeah. You've mentioned essential oils, and I do like to pamper myself and anyone who sits still with essential oils. You mentioned you'd love a massage, and you know, aromatherapy, a massage with essential oils is so soothing. But I spend a lot of time sort of recommending oils to friends if they say, oh, I'm feeling really stressed, you know, or my child is, you know, having tantrums. And the answer is always, I've got an oil for that. And generally there is. So I do use my oils to set a mood when I'm working. I use different ones when I want to focus, and again, different ones when I want to relax. Or for respiratory ailments. But I really love it when friends say, you know, oh, you know, I've got this problem. And you say, it's I know what you can do about that. And it's nice to know.
Well, sensory therapy is one of the strongest senses that we have. I know when my mother was here, bless her heart, she lost her sense of taste and smell.
Oh.
And it was horrible. It was horrible because when she would eat, she would gorge. She would eat so much food, she was trying to regain the test, the taste of collard greens or sweet potatoes or, you know, rice. So what I would do is I would try to make things more visual for her, give her more texture. I know with essential oils and the sense of smell, it also helps you with meditation. It can also bring back past life memories. It can also put you or set you up for future energy. So they're not just, you know, and I know that you're an expert at this, but they're not just for relaxation or to make the room smell good. There's a lot of oils that you can get that relieve muscle tension, and people promise by them to relieve headaches. So there's a lot of value in that. And you notice that people have, again, you have array. I have a bunch of, like here, you know, all on my desk too. I use a lot of essential oils, I burn oils. Because I believe that. But it's also a spiritual awakening because when you burn the oils, from my practice and my understanding, it carries your blessings and your prayers up to heaven through those vapors. So it's a lot of use to those. How long have you been using essential oils?
I think it's about 5 years now.
Oh.
I'd got them and had really early success with them, because my partner had a skin cancer. We just moved into our new house, and he'd had a skin cancer, and I just bought this selection of essential oils, which I was going to have as my sort of healthy medicine, safe alternatives to over-the-counter medicines. And I just got it, but because we're moving into this home, I'd got it all in the top of my wardrobe where it was probably going to stay. But I looked at some photos of us at Christmas, and we moved in March, so it's coming up our anniversary of moving in here 5 years ago. And I looked at this picture, looked at my partner, and said, "Oh, you know that spot on your face? That's not a spot, darling." I said, "You've had that a long time." So we had it checked out. It turned out to be skin cancer. And I thought, well, I'll get the oils and see what would help. And I applied oil around, because you don't put oils actually on a broken skin. So I put it all around his lesion. And he booked surgery a month on. And when it came to the surgery, and the surgeon looked at my partner, because they looked at the picture they took on the day that you were diagnosed, and he said, "Oh my word," he said, "it's improving. It's really improved." He said, "We never see that. We never see that." And with that, I thought, I can't just keep these to myself. I can't just have this as my little, medicine cabinet for me. And that's what made me want to actually share oils with other people. And he's completely fine now, and he doesn't have any scarring, or not noticeable. He has a scar, but when I said to my friends, tell them the story, and they said, "But he doesn't have a scar." And I said, "Well, if you stare at him, he won't mind, but he does, but you can't, it's not noticeable, and it is quite big." But because I was on the next page of my oils book looking to see what's good for scarring, if that was good for the lesion, what's good.
Absolutely.
So, and I just love it. Anything from colds. He managed to get gout at one point, which is
I
not
heard
very
that's quite
fashionable.
painful too. I heard that
It's
gout is quite painful. It
very painful,
will make you
and
sit up straight. Let me
it
ask
will.
you some fun questions about you though. So you live there in the UK. If I
I
was to
do.
come to visit you, where would you take me?
Oh, I live in a little market town, so obviously market day is a big thing here, which is every Friday. And we have, sorry, it's a phone going off. It had all fresh produce, sort of like a farmer's market bit. And it's just, if you've got fish stalls and all the usual produce, that's nice. I have a favorite cafe in town, and it's just wonderful. And they do lots of whole foods, and it's all very healthy. But I just love their sense of humor, because on a really hot day last summer, I went there, and they had, like a soup of the day. I don't know if you have that, with a flavor soup of the day, and they had soup of the day, and then underneath they'd written, "It's too hot for soup." So I thought, well, and I just love them for that, for their sense of humor, the quality, and the times I've been in there, because I take clients there. If I want to get to know someone, I do the face to face over, terribly English pot of tea or sometimes a coffee, but we have that in cakes there. And you might know I talk a lot. I know you know I talk a lot.
No, you don't talk. That, well, you have to provide information and you're a communicator.
And I've often ended up there where they're cleaning up around us. All the staff have all finished for the day, and I'm still earnestly talking. And usually know when I'm talking, because not only my lips moving, but my hands are usually flying everywhere. And they just, almost like hoover around us.
That's
We
beautiful.
really need to lock up.
So you have a great sense of community, and that's very important too, because that connectivity, there's a lot of people that are sick and shut in. I notice that with seniors here, a lot of times people don't go and visit them, or I saw one man walking down the street and it made me nervous because he just didn't seem like himself. And I said, "Oh," I said, "are you one of my neighbors? I haven't seen you before." And he goes, "I don't know." And I said, "You don't know?" And I said, "No." I said, "Well, is your family around here?" He goes, "Darling, I don't know." And he had Alzheimer's. you know, or dementia. So I said, well, I tell you what, why don't you come in and have some lemonade and meet my mom, and we'll find, you know, call the police officers or the bobbies. And they came and they found him. But, you know, you have to pay attention to that. So having a deep sense of community is very loving. It's a part of that gratitude. If you were an appliance in the kitchen, Angie, what appliance would you be?
Oh, I'd probably have to go with a coffee pot, I think.
Ooh,
Like
okay.
providing sort of a bit of a energy and warmth and a bit of a lift to people's days. So I think I'd go with the coffee pot.
Oh, I think I want to be the refrigerator.
Oh, you're
Everybody,
already cool.
yeah, I'm cool. People always want to come. They enjoy what I have inside, you know? So I love that. If you were an animal, what animal would you be?
Oh, I'd love to be a spoilt dog, a really spoilt dog.
I heard
Not a bad
your dog was
life.
barking. Yeah, I heard your dog was barking too. Yeah, dog is God spelled backwards. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. If you had a magical wish, what would it be?
Just, I think to help people, I haven't put a number on how many people I want to help, but for a number now, it's I'd like to help 10,000 people and just make a lasting change to them, you know, a real change that they could actually feel and think, yes, it's made a difference to my life.
Well,
Something
that is wonderful, and it's very selfless. You know, you don't have to, it doesn't have to be about you. Again, it's about others, and that's very warm and inviting. If you were a flower in the garden, what flower would you be?
I think I'd be some sort of rose. I love rose, and scent obviously is really important to me. But they're just so beautiful, and because I think it, they do show like the ultimate expression. I think when a flower blooms, I mean they don't mind. They just get on with the job, don't they? They don't worry about what happened in their past, and you know whether you know there was a rainy season or anything behind. They just, you know, it's full expression for them, isn't it? And that just their pure beauty. So you've got the fragrance and just the softness.
But
Beautiful.
also the love that's associated with it. And a rose never seems to really die. Once the petals fall off, you can still use those. You can put those in a sachet. You can put them in your bath water. You can leave a trail for your loved one to follow you to the bedroom. So roses never die. That's absolutely beautiful. If you had a conversation with yourself at 25 years old, what would you say to yourself, Angie?
I think it would be about believing in myself and trusting myself a little bit more because I do have really strong instincts and always have done, you know, sort of like feels like it's coming from your spiritual core. And I'd soon sort of squash those down. And I think I would say, no, you know, you can be yourself and, you know, just don't try to fit in. Just be yourself, I think.
That's beautiful. And in closing, tell my brains and my listeners what they have to look forward to when they come and work with you.
Well, I think I'm really, really proud of this challenge that I'm doing. I'm doing it starts next Monday on the 18th, and they can do that for free. The only thing is, I have to warn them, I can't do it for them, but I can help them to actually change their life, whatever they want and however they want to feel. I can actually get them there. So if they will trust me with that for a little bit of their time, I will do everything in my power to help them to get what they want in life.
Well, that's beautiful. Tell them how to get in contact with you. Do you have your email or social media?
Facebook, if they look up Angie Doi, and it's obviously the spelling, you can see it online, it's ANGI. And then Doi, DOY. So it's a very simple one. There's not many of us. So if they d put look on Facebook for Angie Doi Whole Life Coach, they will find me and they can get my services for free for 7 whole days. So I'd love them to do that.
Well, I'd love for you to explore that, Brains. You don't know what you don't know. And Angie is giving you a beautiful invitation and offer to work with her. See what you uncover, see what awakens your senses. your sense of gratitude and loyalty and love and protection, all the wonderful things that Angie has just demonstrated for us. Thank you so much, Angie, for being here. Brains, I need you to go in, love, like, share, and subscribe to the channel. Love, like, share, and subscribe. We're going to put all of Angie's information at the back part of the interview, as well as the show notes. Be sure to share this with other people that are there locally in the UK where she lives, or globally around the world. She's only a point, a click, and a Zoom call away. Thank you so much, Angie. You're the best.
Oh, thank you so much, April. I love talking to you. Thank you.
You too. Have a good day, Brains. We love you.